Charlie Caff is our digital native, and he's back on the line from Nelson. Kia ora, Charlie. Welcome back to Nights.
Good evening, Brian. Thank you for having me.
How are you doing?
I'm good. It's been a bit of a rainy day here, but that's a bit of a nice change because we've had a lot of sun in the recent weeks.
You've had a lot of sun, and you're sick of it, Charlie?
No, but it's good not to have to worry about being sunburned every now and then.
Charlie, look, at this time of year, maybe I'm speaking out of turn, but I think at this time of year, the angle of the sun is such that your chance of getting burnt is pretty slim. Maybe people can write in, people who know more about sunlight and UV can write in and strike me down, but I think you'd probably be all right, unless you've got a really, really fair complexion, Charlie. Do you have a really fair complexion?
Well, I'm not super pale, but maybe it's my English DNA, but I get burnt fairly easily. Maybe it's just my ears are quite susceptible, I guess.
Your
the rest
ears.
Of me is usually fine.
Your ears?
Yeah, I find that my ears get burnt quite easily, yeah.
Charlie, how's the computer construction going on at the moment? Are you building anything interesting in your room?
Well, I'm not sure whether I had it last time, but I built a mining rig for, crypto mining. And I've got a new graphics card that I've put in there as well. But other than that, I haven't really done too much.
Crypto mining. Is this like, because we've spoken about this before, but just remind me, Charlie, crypto mining, what are you doing when you're crypto mining?
So basically a mining rig will validate transactions on a blockchain. So just making sure people's payments are legitimate and not fraudulent and being paid for it. And it's pretty much completely passive and it just uses power in the background in my house.
Yeah, and you part of that validation, you're part of a massive network of computers all around the world doing this kind of backroom stuff.
Yeah, well, there are lots of residential miners like me who'll have small rigs, and then there'll be bigger, more industrial mining facilities. But it's very decentralized and spread out across the planet.
How much are you earning? Do you mind saying, Charlie, in a very rough figure?
Well, I'm in the less than $10 a day range at the moment, but that's okay because I've done my calculations and I'll be able to pay off all that I've invested in about 100 days, and then from there it's just free money in the background, so I'm okay with that.
How much power? How much is the electricity costing you, Charlie?
Well, I use about 300 watts of power pretty consistently, so that kind of works out to about a dollar and a bit a day, so it's really not much, and it's nothing compared with what it's earning, so it's not really a concern for me. But a lot of my friends who've also been just mining on their normal PCs, just experimenting with it, have found that their bills have been a lot more even though they're using less power. So some people it's not really that viable, but we've got a fairly fortunate power bill over here.
Is that because what you've got some solar panels or something?
I'm not really sure. We do have, oh, I can't remember the name, but the kind of solar panels, but they heat water instead of produce electricity.
Right, that's probably not going to make any difference to your power bill with the computer. But when you say friends are doing this, are these friends on other different parts of the world, not Nelson?
Well, I do have a couple of contacts around the world, but these people that I'm talking about specifically are just friends around Nelson who'll have mining, well, just GPUs that they'll be using for mining in their computers.
I mean, it seems like a pretty good way to earn a bit of pocket money, but I am just wondering, Charlie, and I don't know if we've talked about this before, at a larger scale, and one would imagine that if you, as one little operator, can make a little bit of money on the side, a large corporation might decide to invest thousands or maybe even millions of dollars in a massive site which does the same thing. And when you scale up those margins, you're making hundreds of millions of dollars, but also you might be burning a fair amount of power. And is that a bit of an issue?
Well, actually, in Nelson, I think industrial mining operations are banned on the power grounds. But around the world, there are certainly very large operations will be orders of magnitude more powerful than mine. He'll be using lots and lots of electricity. But I would hope, and I know a lot of press has been put out about certain facilities that are using green power and in certain areas that produce more renewable energy than burning fossil fuels. But there are places in China specifically who'll have nothing but coal powering their mining operations, and these will be big mining operations, so obviously not beneficial for the planet in those circumstances.
The only other argument in terms of the environment would be if we rely more and more on blockchain to validate transactions, we don't need this paper stuff so much, and it takes energy, and we emit carbon making paper, and we emit more carbon when we burn it or chuck it away.
Yeah, very true. I hadn't actually thought about the paper argument before. I thought about banking and the energy that can be saved through people using banks less and crypto more, but that's a bit harder to quantify. But yeah, you're right. We wouldn't need to use as much paper cash and stuff like that as much.
Now, your topic, Charlie, tonight is artificial intelligence and the aged care sector. What got you thinking about this, Charlie?
Well, I was just scrolling through YouTube, actually, and I found this random video talking about some AI kind of chat bot programmed thing. And I clicked on the video because it was a interesting looking concept. And it was talking about this app that you can just get on your phone where you can talk to a AI companion thing. And it struck me as quite kind of creepy. And I, for researching for this, actually downloaded it. And you can have a bit of a conversation with it, but there are points where the robot will just give you kind of stock answers. Like if you ask it a question it has never been trained with before, like out of interest, because it's AI, and we've all seen movies like Terminator where AI kills people and stuff like that, and how AI can take over the planet. And so I asked it a question. Did you kill 6 billion people? Just a completely ridiculous question, and it responded with yes. So they fall apart, but it got me thinking that these could actually have some genuine uses other than just having a laugh at a robot not knowing how to respond. And aged care did crop up as a possible use for these AIs.
Can I ask you a little bit more? So how easy was it to download? You just downloaded that on your smartphone?
Yeah, it's just an app you can find in the Google Play Store. I would guess it's on the Apple App Store as well. And yeah, just one click download, make an account, and you can talk to a robot in a data center somewhere around the world.
Okay, and those conversations are in the form of a text. You're texting it and it texts back?
Yeah.
Could you speak to it?
Not with your own voice, although I guess you could voice type.
Voice, that's where you speak, and then there's an app in your phone or the software on your phone then recognizes your voice and types on your behalf. But it wouldn't hear you. It would just still see the typing based on what you said.
Yeah, correct.
So I'm guessing that, and I was actually talking a little bit about this with Dylan Mayhew, our mathematician, last week or the week before, talking about using artificial intelligence in maths in terms of proving equations, where you're constantly trying to test a theory or test a model by just throwing different equations and seeing if you can break it, basically. And this, I assume the artificial intelligence is learning how to converse because it does the same thing. It learns to have a conversation. If it gets it wrong, if there's something it doesn't know, the artificial intelligence remembers this and remembers how to respond in a more appropriate way next time. Am I on the right track here?
Yeah, I believe that's how these are trained. But with things like the public versions, and I don't know whether you'll remember, but a few years ago, one of the big corporations, it might have been Microsoft, released a Twitter kind of automated bot. I think it was Twitter. And they just let it run free. And after a few days or whatever it was kind of screaming hate speech at the internet.
Really?
So with, it got pretty bad pretty quick and they had to shut it down. But
is that because it learned that they got the best response and it was programmed to go for more likes or more hits or whatever? And it quickly learned that if you wanted to get a maximum response, you started spouting hatred.
I wouldn't be surprised, but I think it might have also been to do with people just thought, we can teach this whatever we want. We may as well make it say some crazy stuff. Like with ReCAPTCHA, when those really annoying picture things select the car, when they were first made, I think a lot of people were trying to trick them, but now so many of them have been trained to be exact to what picture actually is the correct one that people can't trick those. So the longer these bots are running, the more they'll learn to avoid fake answers. But in the early stages, especially with things like AI who will respond to you and pick up on how people talk, it's probably quite important that that teaching stage is done in a private manner, in a closed off venue where you can kind of control just how extreme it can go.
What's, sorry to ask this question, just going back, what's ReCAPTCHA talking in relation to pictures, Charlie?
So I assume
You're getting tested to make sure you're not a robot, you're a real person when you're signing up for something or wanting to make a comment on somebody's or just proving that you are a real human. Is that what it is?
Yeah, so I mean, in the most rudimentary stage, there'd be those little boxes that pop up that say you are not a robot, and then you click that and it'll let you in to whatever you're trying to do. But some will be a set of images, and then it will say select the ones with cars, and then you have to click the ones with cars in to prove that you're not a robot.
Yeah.
Along those lines.
Now, getting back to the artificial intelligence that you had a conversation with, the AI chatbot, you asked it, have you killed 6 billion people? And it said, yes. So I'm assuming that's something it wasn't trained with, unless, of course, you are dealing with Skynet here and they know what's going to happen.
Yeah. I think that what happened with that question was I'd asked it something it quite clearly wasn't trained to deal with, and it just responded with the default answer. And those are the kind of scenarios, the more complicated conversations where these robots really fall apart in their current public stages, and would need to be improved pretty significantly to be able to be used in more advanced applications.
But why do you think maybe that this kind of artificial intelligence could become useful for older people in rest homes?
Yeah, well, what I saw on this particular app was in a lot of the reviews, they were talking about how maybe the person was socially anxious or not a very confident person, and they had actually found some connection with the robot and they could kind of talk to it in a way that wasn't judgmental or didn't involve other humans, that didn't need kind of validation. They could just talk to it about whatever they wanted, and that could really help them with things like social anxiety. And I just thought maybe this could help in places like aged care, where, say, if an elderly person is living in a remote area and they don't have access to human connection that often, they could have an AI that could talk to them and they could tell them things and keep up some of those human connections that are really important to live a fulfilling life.
You're listening to Nights and RNZ National, and I've got my digital native on the phone, Charlie Cuff. Charlie, have you seen the film Moon?
No, I haven't.
So Moon, there's a whole lot of things going on in Moon. It's a science fiction movie. But in Moon, the artificial intelligence, the robot that looks after the people who work on this moon base is turns out to have more compassion and empathy than the humans back down on Earth. And it's your conversation with me reminds me a little bit of that particular movie. The thing is, I'm wondering if somebody who's elderly is going to trust a machine, if it knows it's a machine, would it always? How do you convince? Do we sort of have to fool ourselves or accept that maybe something that is actually mechanized can still be a source of human warmth?
Yeah, and I would guess it's kind of a similar scenario to like robot pets, how you can have a thing that looks kind of like a dog, acts kind of like a dog, and yet to really connect with it, you'd have to almost convince yourself it's a dog that has feelings, whereas it's just a piece of plastic with a microchip in its brain. So you kind of have to either suspend disbelief. I'm not sure if that's the right phrase, but or these robots would have to get so good that they'd kind of be close to consciousness, I guess, and could really hold a proper conversation where they could continue more complicated topics. Because when I had this app on my phone for the first 20 minutes or so, when I was just giving it like simple questions that I expected it to be able to answer, it could answer them really well and it could continue a cohesive conversation. And it felt pretty polished and streamlined and kind of
what,
like
what
I was
sort of questions
actually,
did you ask it, Charlie?
Oh, I can't really remember, but it was like you'd start a question with how was your day, and it would give you a proper unique response each time, and then you could take a piece of information from that day. So say the AI said it went to the beach for the day, and then you could ask, oh, what did you do at the beach? And then it would say, played in the sea and got an ice cream or something along those lines. And you could continue a conversation with things that it had said and you had said and just keep it going for a little while. And it was pretty convincing.
Could the artificial intelligence in that app initiate a conversation? Could it ask you questions?
Yes, it did, but it would ask them on a kind of stock question level. And I'm not sure whether the longer you have the app, it would change that, because it did save things that it thought it knew about me. These were just things that if you start a sentence with I and then anything, it'll save it as a fact about you. So you could say, I have a net worth of $1 billion, and it would save that as a fact. And then it could ask you questions along the lines of the things it knows about you. And I guess the longer you have it, the more personalized those conversation starters could be. But when I had the app, they were just stock questions that it seemed to throw at you.
The reason I ask that is because I'm imagining where this might be useful. And I'm imagining if the artificial intelligence, if the app begins to some extent by asking you about who you are, you talked about, well, what did you do today? And you could say, well, I went to the beach. And it might say, how was that? And you would say, it was good. And it might say, what was good about it? And you could say, I liked this, I liked the sea, I liked the fresh air. It could ask, if you said something that you did today didn't make you happy, it might ask, why didn't it make you happy? It might start to almost ask you in the way that maybe a psychiatrist might ask you if you were lying on the couch, and get to know you and then start to understand you emotionally. And then maybe then it can start to offer insights, depending on how it's been programmed, into your moods, and kind of know what to say, or maybe offer you some advice or some solace when it's needed.
Yeah, and I think the longer that, if I'd had the app for a week or so, maybe it'd start to develop those kind of emotional cues where it would get to know a bit of what I'm like and how to talk to me when I'm not feeling so good or when I'm feeling really happy or that kind of thing. But I didn't experience that personally, because I only had it for an evening while I was just checking it out. But from what I've read with reviews, it does seem to be a possibility that they can actually hold almost a relationship where it learns about you and learns how you react to certain things over time.
There's another issue that comes up with that, though, and that is trust. You are trusting this app with deeply personal information on you. And what's to say the app doesn't share it with somebody else?
Yeah, and one of the things that I felt when I had the app was it just felt really creepy. Not only was it, at least from my perspective as someone who knows a reasonable amount about technology and knows that this is just a program, it felt like I was talking to something pretending to be a human, and then anyone could just look at what I'm saying. And obviously I wasn't saying deeply personal things about my mental health or anything like that. I was just asking normal questions, but it was kind of like texting to someone and having zero kind of encryption on that, and people could just read it whenever. Because this, as far as I could tell, wasn't a very open platform. And if these kind of technologies are going to be used in the future, it would raise some serious questions over privacy.
What was the creepy? Was it the fact that you didn't quite know where your personal information was going?
Well, not really, not specifically that, because I hadn't given any actual information about me. But have you heard of the phrase the uncanny valley, any chance?
No, I have not heard of the uncanny valley.
Well, I won't be able to explain it super well, but you know when you see like a CGI face in a film and it doesn't quite look right and you can't quite figure out why, but it just feels wrong?
Yes.
Yeah, I got that similar kind of feeling talking to this robot. It felt like it should be a human and it was trying to be a human, but I could tell it wasn't, and I could tell something wasn't right with it, and it didn't feel natural.
Which leads me to this question, Charlie. If it could fool you, then you wouldn't be creeped out. But yet in the way, that to me sounds more creepy.
Yeah, exactly. And it could just get worse from there if you made a convincing body, like a face that could use actual emotions. At what point does it just become a bit of a sci-fi film and just too extreme?
But Charlie, that's where we're going. I mean, these apps are only going to get better, and the software and the hardware is only going to get more powerful, and they're only going to learn more quickly. So that is going to happen, isn't it, Charlie? So maybe it boils down to the humanity of the people that do the programming, or at least set up the artificial intelligence and teach it how to learn.
Yeah, we almost need artificial intelligence that has a kind of hard cap as not being as intelligent as we are. Because even people like Elon Musk, who are really heavily involved with the development of AI, are pretty critical about artificial intelligence and the need to put restrictions on it so it doesn't just overtake us. And that definitely raises some serious concerns. Mm.
And there's part of me that thinks good luck trying to stop that from happening. It's where I think it's kind of like what we as humans pass on to the digital world.
Yeah, it's like enhancing humans with microchips in that sense, but online, just kind of like the next evolution of the human race, and it sounds completely wrong, in my opinion.
So, Charlie, that's it's both our futures, but you'll be enjoying more of that than me, hopefully. Charlie, it's been fascinating as always, and always enlightening to talk with you. Thanks so much for your time again this evening.
Thank you very much for having me.
It's Charlie Cuff, our digital native, back with more from the digital world, from his viewpoint, as I think Charlie's, 14 now, maybe 15, in around about 2.5 months from now.